This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05 on a very nice Wednesday. It's July 25th. Good afternoon. Welcome to the WBBM Noon Business Hour presented by the Village of Bedford Park. I'm Regine Schlesinger. It's 84 degrees. The temperature climbing to 88 this afternoon. It'll be mostly sunny, and we'll have the complete forecast coming up. As for the numbers on Wall Street, the blue chips had been down much more earlier today. Right now, the Dow seems to be bouncing back a bit. Let's check the latest with Elisa Parenti.
That's right, Regine. Right now, the Dow lower by just 40 points, a loss of less than 0.2%, and the Nasdaq stretching to a record. The previous high for the composite, 78.55, right now we're at 78.90, up 49 points, or 0.2%. The S&P up 8 points, and the Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is just now fractionally lower, moving onto positive territory. Earnings reports have been choppy. Coca-Cola's results beat forecast, and Coke is at the top of the Dow. Fiat Chrysler's performance for the quarter came in below expectations, and that stock is in a correction on the day, and then some, down 15% right now. General Motors shares deep in the red after the carmaker cut its profit forecast on surging metals prices. Shares of AT&T hit a six-year low after adding fewer wireless customers than anticipated. Investors got a downbeat report on new home sales. They slid more than 5% in June. The sharp decline and a downward revision to the previous month's numbers show rising interest rates seem to be slowing home buying. And stock in Lennar, Pulte Group, and D.R. Horton, as well as other home builders, sharply lower. Back to you, Regine.
Thank you, Elisa. We'll be taking a look at some of the stocks that are driving the market today, especially those vulnerable to the trade war, Boeing and General Motors. A look at those housing numbers and what it means for that pillar of the economy, the housing sector, which seems to be going into a slump. We'll also take a look on Personal Finance Wednesday at when and how to talk to your children about money and get them financially savvy. And Walmart is in a new deal with a company that's involved in driverless cars. And we'll tell you how you might be seeing some many new driverless cars in Walmart parking lots.
Cashing in with conversation, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time 12:10. The latest report on sales of new homes is out today as mortgage rates continue to tick up. We'll cover that in our next segment coming up. Right now, though, there is concern about the impact of the trade war on American companies, including heavyweights like Chicago-based Boeing and Detroit's General Motors. We're talking about it with Jim Awad, Senior Managing Director for Heartland & Company in New York. And Jim, welcome back to the program. Boeing and GM, they stand to lose a lot in these trade wars, don't they?
Yeah. Today, Boeing, actually, the decline in Boeing is the trade war had something to do with it. It was mostly a write-down in their tanker division. General Motors, it was clearly the tariffs and the trade wars raising costs and reducing margins. And I think the theme that we're seeing is that earnings growth and revenue growth and forward-looking guidance is strong enough to, on balance, be supportive of equity prices. But you're starting to see the negatives from the tariffs and the trade issues, the trade escalations, starting to creep into the supply chain, into costs, into margins, and into earnings visibility. So if this goes on for another quarter, I imagine when we report third quarter earnings in October, it'll be depressing. Right now, it's a mild headache, and we're still able to power through based on the strength of current earnings. But if this increases, combined with the negative effects of rising interest rates on housing and drying up liquidity, you could start to see the outlook deteriorate if the trade issues are not resolved sooner rather than later.
President Trump yesterday was counseling patience. Do you see that in the long run that this might turn out well for these companies?
You know, we just don't know. Trump has a philosophy. He's got a style. He's got a stance. We know that it works sometimes in real estate, not always. He's making the case that, well, we're going to come out of this much stronger, that our adversaries are going to fold because of the power of our economies. And if that's the case, we will come out stronger. There are others that would say he's disrupting a system that's been established over the last several decades, and that he's damaging the business models of many companies, and that the longer this goes on, the damage is irreparable and will lead to more inefficiencies rather than efficiencies. And we really don't know. Only time will tell. The comfort we have is the power of the U.S. economy as we sit here right now. And that's what Trump is saying, is that the economy is so strong that we can afford to gamble.
Well, and
so
seatbelts
on, only time will tell.
And in fact, we're going to see the GDP figures on Friday, and most economists are expecting them to be very strong, well above 4%. You agree?
Well, the estimates are, yes, very strong, and probably the strongest that they're going to be. Most people see it see growth settling back down below that 4% plus number as oil prices and tariff cost increases eat their way into the economy and offset some of the wage gains and tax cuts that we've had. So I think it'll be a strong number, but frankly, I think the market expects it. And that number in and of itself, I don't think will move the market. What the market's going to be looking for, has the underlying trend increased from 2% to 2.5% plus? As companies continue to give their forward-looking guidance, we'll get a better handle on that.
Jim, thanks so much for joining us. Jim Awad is the Senior Managing Director for Heartland & Company in New York. Coming up next, a look behind the numbers in the latest report on new home sales.
Because money matters, this is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time 1220, sales of new homes in the United States dropped to an 8-month low in June, and that's on top of a drop yesterday in the numbers on existing home sales. We're talking about the housing market with Richard DeKayser, economist for Wells Fargo in Washington. Richard, welcome back to the program.
Good to be here. Thanks.
What's causing this slump right now?
Well, it's not clear. We've had, the month from May to June, the dip shouldn't be too alarming, but more concerning is that we seem to, after an 8-year run of improving sales, have seemed to be plateauing off. And one cause could be the change in tax law starting at the beginning of the year, which greatly reduced the incentive, the tax benefit of owning a home and taking out a mortgage. So it's possible that people have soured a little bit on the asset class because it doesn't have that tax benefit. It's really too soon to say, but it's certainly worth keeping an eye on.
Even though the Fed's interest rate hikes aren't directly tied to mortgage rates, we have seen mortgage rates creeping up. Are they getting to the tipping point where perhaps some people are put off by how much they have to pay for a mortgage?
You know, I don't think that's a big part of the story here. You're right. Mortgage rates have been inching up since the Fed embarked on this tighter policy regime. But I like to look at what it costs the typical family to buy the typical house in terms of monthly payment as a share of income. That's around 20% for the country as a whole. That is actually a little bit better than the long-term average of about 25%. So it's not as good as it was 3, 4, or 5 years ago, to be sure. But we're really not looking at unaffordable conditions that would take a big ding in the housing market.
Housing is such an important part of the economy. Yeah. Can we see a dragging down the economy in general if it keeps this way, if the trend continues?
Yes, and that is the concern. So housing on its own is maybe 3-4% of GDP, but it has all these ripple effects. It stimulates consumer spending on big ticket items like appliances, furnishings. And of course, as long as prices go up, people feel wealthier and spend more freely. So if that truly grinds to a halt, we should be more broadly concerned.
Well, speaking of GDP, we're expecting the numbers on Friday, and most economists are expecting them to be very high, although we were talking a few moments ago with Jim Awad, who said he does expect the GDP number to be high, but that might be the highest for quite some time.
I think that's right. I mean, it could be somewhere in the 4.5% to 5% annual rate of growth, which is spectacular. There's going to be some special factors going on. Curiously, these tariffs, which have recently rolled out, are actually adding to GDP, which is counterintuitive, but not in the way we'd like. For example, we find some foreign nations are buying soy from the U.S. because tariffs are preventing the U.S. from selling them directly to other countries. So Brazil, for example, is buying U.S. soy, so they in turn can sell it to China. Not the kind of efficiencies you'd like to see, but in the short run, it's providing a little bit of boost to the economy overall.
Well, the global growth, is that keeping pace at all with the U.S. growth?
Very mixed picture. Sure, emerging Asia is, in fact, growing at a pace that broadly is probably twice the pace in the United States. But the Eurozone and our other trading partners in mature economies, Canada and Mexico, are not. So it's very much a mixed bag. The U.S. is in the middle of the pack. Some stellar performers and some laggards, but overall, the global economy hasn't really.
Richard, thanks so much for being with us. Richard DeKayser, economist with Wells Fargo in Washington. Still ahead on Personal Finance Wednesday, finding the appropriate age to talk to your children about money. WBBM News Time 12:25. As we take a look at the markets right now on the Business Hour, here's Elisa Parenti.
Regine, the Dow lower by 54 points now, or 0.2%. Boeing is the reason for the losses for the blue chips, while NASDAQ is stretching to a record, up 41 points, or 0.5%. S&P up 6. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index from Wintrust is also in the red, down about 0.1%. We're being hurt on our local index, as well as the blue chips, by Boeing. Now, the upside for the Dow, led by Coca-Cola. Customers have been turning away from artificial sweeteners, but revenue from Diet Coke sales grew for a second straight quarter. Those new skinny cans from Diet Coke and the new flavors helped a lot. The company launched its biggest ever makeover of the brand in January. Crude oil futures up about 1.5% right now to $69.50 a barrel. We have a check of prices for the grains. For that, we turn to Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
We have higher prices across the board, led by wheat. World wheat supplies are smaller than expected. We have wheat at the moment up 32.5 in September at 5.43, a penny off its high. Beans have been down 6 to up 3. At the moment, we have soybeans up 2.5 in November at 8.75¾. Corn's been up 8 unchanged. We're still up 8.6½ at 3.72½. This is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thank you, Pete. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Regine Schlesinger. Chris Kreidel is off. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Stocks are mixed at this hour. We'll see what's moving the markets. Personal Finance Wednesday earlier is better when it comes to talking to your children about money. Waymo is partnering with some of the country's largest companies, including Walmart, to increase access to self-driving cars. Chicago School Board is considering a nearly $8 billion budget for the coming academic year. President Trump reacts to a recording in which he talks about a potential payment for a former Playboy model who claimed to have had an affair with the then presidential candidate. WBBM markets, the Dow is down 58, almost 59 points. NASDAQ is up 42. The S&P 500 is up 6 points. The WBBM Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Taking a look at Wall Street today, it's been mixed, markets hovering near the break-even mark. We're joined by Jeff Kilberg with KKM, CEO of KKM Financial here in Chicago. Jeff, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Regine. Great to be here.
As we take a look at the markets today, yesterday they were much higher. Today they're kind of mixed. What do you see happening lately on Wall Street?
Well, Regine, we are in the heart of earnings season. This week alone, we have one-third of the S&P 500 reporting earnings. And today, it's pretty much a mixed bag, as you spoke earlier. We're seeing the Dow Jones being dragged down by the earnings off of Boeing, AT&T, as well as General Motors. But let's remember, Boeing has had a sensational ride in 2017 as well as 2018. But I think this week, the focus is more trade tariffs. We continue to get this trade tariff conversation. However, it's being juxtaposed by the tech sector earnings. We had a blockbuster earning by Google on Monday that really vaulted the market higher. We're seeing that follow through today in the NASDAQ, up nearly 50 handles. But we also are going to be watching the European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker talk to President Trump today, because there's one kind of overlooming shadow on the market, and it's the potential of a 25% tariff being implemented on about $200 billion worth of foreign cars.
When you look at both the markets and the economy being very strong, and we're going to see more indication of the economy being strong on Friday, probably, when the GDP figures come out, do you think that there are many more rate increases ahead by the Fed in this coming, in the remainder of the year?
No, that's a great question. I think the answer is yes. I think the Fed will stay on path. They're going to continue to raise interest rates. We're going to be looking also to the European Central Bank about their removal of stimulus. So right now, it's a bit of a conundrum. We've seen such liquidity injected into the system over the last decade, and now we're in a little bit of quantitative tightening. So I think you will see interest rates continue to move up. However, the long end of the curve, the part that matters to us consumers on our credit cards, on our mortgage rates, that 10-year and 30-year, I don't think we're going to see that rate fly up due to the fact we are still a very juicy offering. If you look at the 10-year note here domestically, it's at 2.93%. Stark contrast to the German 10-year boon at about 35 basis points, Regine.
There are some alternatives now for investors that didn't exist before. I mean, with these rates going up, there are some fixed income kinds of investments that might be a little more attractive than they were before.
That's right, and I think savers were punished during the crisis, and it's a horrible thing that that's what happened to savers, but now we are seeing a little bit of an incremental uptick. You're seeing one-year CDs at 2.5%, but I still think a lot of the investing theme, which is really focused on the tech sector, we're seeing the names, and it's a little bit of reason to take a little bit of a pause here, Regine, because the air is getting a little bit thin. We've seen five names really pound out the S&P 500 gains for the year. It's the Googles, the Microsoft. We're actually going to see Facebook report this afternoon, nearing all-time highs. So if you have an allocation to the tech sector, it may be time to consider either reducing the allocation and rotating into some of the laggards. We look at some of the fixed income components, if it's an ETF out there that you like, or even some of the other laggard names that we still like a General Motors down on today. That's the opportunity now to kind of reposition your portfolio as we're seeing the stock market nearing all-time highs once again.
So for companies like General Motors and Boeing, which is also down today because of this looming trade war or the trade war that's already underway, would you tell investors to get into this now, or should they be staying away because the trade wars could hurt them more in the future?
Well, Regine, unfortunately, I think it's going to get a little bit worse before it gets better. This is the tactic that Washington President Trump has utilized many times in the past. And historically speaking, that abrasive tactic is just trying to rebalance the playing field. We've had decades and decades of unfair trade. If you look just last year, the United States lost $817 billion on trade. That's remarkable to see. So as we kind of are still in the first couple innings of this trade negotiation, and I'm going to call it a trade tussle, I don't think we're in a full trade war yet. So I think there's going to be opportunity. So stay poised and maybe layer in to some names that you want. But we look at, you know, some of these names, even like an AT&T, it's down 20% on the year. That's a great name. It pays a nice dividend. We're looking at names that have been beat up a little bit as all this noise of trade tariffs persists.
Are there particular sectors that you like right now?
Well, we still like the banks, and it's great. Some of these regional banks, if you look at the ETF, KRE, it's seeing sensational movements. But right now, it's all about the Fed. Will the Fed continue to move rates, and then will that yield curve continue to flatten? If it remains in a flattened state, some of these banks are going to have a hard time. But some of the banks we're looking at, Morgan Stanley, JP Morgan, they continue to be profitable in this environment. And I think this environment, which is kind of backstopped by the Fed, will allow the financials to prevail. But also look at the tech sector. The tech sector has been on fire. I think it has more room to run.
Jeff, good meeting you this afternoon. Thanks so much for being with us. Jeff Kilberg is CEO of KKM Financial here in Chicago. And still ahead on the WBBM Noon Business Hour, presented by the Village of Bedford Park, we'll have Personal Finance Wednesday, having the talk with children about money.
Cashing in with conversation, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Personal Finance Wednesday now, sponsored by Geiger Wealth. It really can pay to start talking to your children about money at an early age and educating them. Let's discuss some of the things you can do to lay a firm foundation. We're talking with Craig Bolanos, founding partner and chief executive officer for Wealth Management Group in Inverness. Greg, welcome to the program. When we're talking about educating our children, how early do you start? Many of us remember getting allowances when we were little children. You think that's a good idea?
Oh, I think it's never too early to start, right? I mean, that's the misconception. I think so many of us just feel that the little children in our lives aren't going to be receptive to this message about money until their teenage years. That couldn't be further from the truth, I think.
You know, we just heard a study out earlier today that millennials are staying away from the stock market. That, you know, for one thing, they are saving their money, but they were so warned away, spooked by what happened in the recession of 2009, that they're just afraid to invest now in the stock market. Is that something you need to talk to your kids about too, the stock market? And at what age do you start explaining that?
Well, I think you do. So, you know, if we really break this down, the one thing that you're so perceptive on is all of us are shaped by our experiences. And let's be sincere, the millennial generation had their formative years right after college dealing with job loss, seeing what their parents went through in the Great Recession. But that makes millennials more apt to talk to their children about money. And to your point, I think when the kids are early, we don't necessarily talk to the young kids about money, but we just demonstrate the correct behavior. But once they become middle school and teenagers, you're right. We need to talk about the principles of investing and saving for the future. So yeah, we should talk to the kids about the stock market.
There's always this debate among parents. Do you pay kids for chores or not? I mean, on the one hand, they're part of a family and they should learn that they should do things as part of the family without being paid. But on the other hand, being paid is maybe a learning experience as well.
Well, Regine, let me share with you what we have done. I've done it wrong. We used to give the kids allowances. Now my two boys are both in high school, and they haven't gotten allowances for the last 3 years. They get paid what I call commissions, not for selling things, but for doing chores. They no longer get free money. They do their laundry, they know it's worth this. Taking out the garbage, they know it's worth that. Doing this academically, they know it's worth something. And it's funny, once they started spending their money that they earned, as opposed to spending the money we gave them for free, which is the allowance, their behavior patterns completely altered.
You know, when I was a kid, starting probably when I was about 12 years old, I would babysit and earn some money. You hear that kids nowadays just don't want to do that and they don't need to do it. They don't need to earn money on their own.
Well, I think children today, and again, it starts young, don't have a concept of what money is because I see it every weekend. Every restaurant, every movie we go to, mom and dad do what? They slap down plastic for everything. And kids don't understand. They can't relate and bridge the gap between plastic and money. It's just not relatable. The whole concept of money isn't. That's why we really need to demonstrate and be so careful what we're doing in our everyday behavior, because those little eyes are, in fact, watching.
Craig, thanks so much for joining us. Craig Bolanos is founding partner and chief executive officer for Wealth Management Group in suburban Inverness. Join us at this time tomorrow for Technology Thursday. Still to come, a self-driving car company is looking to expand in a major way.
It's 60 Minutes of Financial Planning. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time 1250. Waymo has struck deals with several companies, including Walmart, to expand access to its self-driving cars. We're talking about it with Bloomberg Technologies America editor Alistair Barr in San Francisco. Alistair, good afternoon. Tell us about this deal that they have with Walmart, first of all, just what Waymo is doing.
Yeah, it's a self-driving car early rider program that is already running in Phoenix. But now, if you go to Walmart.com, if you're one of these early rider people in Phoenix, if you go to Walmart.com, order your groceries online, you get a little discount, and then a Waymo self-driving car will come pick you up at your house, ferry you to the Walmart grocery store where your groceries will be packed and ready to pick up, and then you can go back and take them home. And that's one of about, I would say, three or four partnerships that they announced in the Phoenix area today.
So is this kind of thing going to really hurt places like Uber and Lyft?
Well, certainly Uber considers self-driving cars somewhat of an existential threat to their business, but also an opportunity too. So Uber has its own self-driving car technology program. It's a bit behind Waymo's, which has been doing this type of thing for about a decade already. But yeah, I mean, Uber is working very hard to try and get similar technology, because ultimately, you know, they'll want to, not great for the human drivers, but they'll want to replace human drivers with automated vehicles to come pick you up to.
Well, taxi drivers might see this as kind of fair turnaround, given what Uber and Lyft have done to their business. As we look at this, who are Walmart and Waymo targeting? Is it elderly people who don't want to drive anymore, or millennials who don't have their cars, or all of those people?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, I think what they want is kind of a more automated extension of what Uber wants as well, which is, if you live in a city like Phoenix or even a denser one, especially if a city like Phoenix, you need a car to get around. But maybe if all these automated cars are driving around and they're, you know, you can order one pretty quickly and they'll come and pick you up, then you don't need to have a car. So it would be, you know, obviously picking up groceries is a great example, but they also did some new partnerships as well with, for instance, Avis, the rental car company. So there's that little gap where you get to the airport, but you can't, the rental car counter isn't at the airport, so you have to get on that annoying bus to go and pick it up. So instead, there'll be a self-driving Waymo car there to take you to the rental counter, you know, a mile away, where you can actually pick up your rental car. So they did that partnership as well. Then there's another one with AutoNation, which services cars. So that's another classic example where, oh, I need my car serviced, but I don't have another car, so what am I going to do? So they basically, you know, you drop your car off to be serviced, and then a Waymo car will pick you up and take you back to your office. And then when it's done, it'll come back and pick you up from the office and take you back to the place where your car's being serviced.
Well, it seems like quite a revolution. Alistair, thanks very much. Alistair Barr is editor for Bloomberg Technologies America. If you missed any part of today's Noon Business Hour, we'll have the replay podcast available shortly at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the all-new Radio.com app. WBBM News Time 12:55. We wrap up the Noon Business Hour with a check of the market sponsored by Elmhurst BMW. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Regine, we are at the best levels of the day for the Dow, down just 18 points now. The NASDAQ is higher by 49 points at 78.90. That is a record high. Previous record high, 78.55, up 0.2% right now. S&P adding 10. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is unchanged. Condolences from the executives of Ford, General Motors, and other auto industry execs on the death of former Fiat Chrysler CEO Sergio Marchionne. He was credited with reviving Fiat and saving Chrysler. Marchionne passed away at 66 years old today, following complications from what was supposed to be a routine shoulder surgery. Now, also today, we're hearing from Fiat Chrysler and GM on their quarterly profit reports. Fiat Chrysler sales fell in Asia, GM's profits taking a hit from tariffs on aluminum and steel. And so we've got stock in all three of the main car makers sharply lower. The biggest losses on Fiat Chrysler, down 14% today. With business at 25 and 55. Live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago. WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better over
here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.